There we go. Okay, good evening, folks, and welcome to the Trim Radio Network. Sorry we had a delay there. I thought Stu was going to be introducing himself. Anyway, welcome to my world. Live, laugh, or whatever on the Trim Radio Network. Come on over. You can buy merchandise. You can message us. And if you want to be a part of our team, all you have to do is message us. We'll show you how easy it is to do. Anyway, the opinions expressed by our host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. And any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise. That song right there, Leave It to Beaver, is covered under our BMI music license, 615-1658. We do have a call-in number, but I will not be managing the phones. Stu will. 803-866-1667. So you call in, you give him your opinion and everything else, and he will be able to do that. Anyway, Stu, I'll see you in a bit.
All right. Be kind, everybody. It's 803-866-1667. Call in live if you want, if you dare. Hey, guys. Wow. I was running around today. I had more meetings, and, I had to take somebody to the eye doctor. And then I had to take somebody to the ER. I don't know if I'm qualified to be an ambulance service or not. Anyhow, I had other stuff going on, another meeting this afternoon. I thought, oh boy, what a day. And then I said, hey, I've got a radio show to do. It's going to be at 8 o'clock. It's 6 o'clock. What do I put together? Well, there's so much stuff out there. It's just been one of those crazy days. And they said right now, Ohio was supposed to get some really heavy rain tonight and so forth. The streets are wet. And in Western Ohio, it's 43 degrees with a little bit of rain. Yeah, we get through it. At least it's not snow. I don't know about you guys. I do not like snow. It may be pretty to look at, but when it snows here, it's called make sure you got gas in the snow blower and then get dressed up to go out and throw some snow. Sometimes I like to throw it across the street. And I do that out of spite sometimes. Anyhow, welcome to my world. Live, laugh, and whatever. And we've got a lot of different things to talk about, but, you know, Michael does his disclaimer, I do mine. So nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Take what we say with a grain of salt and always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. Any persons or characters mentioned are, for the most part, fictional or as close to it as we can get. So sit back and relax and chill out. Oh, and Hey, tell your friends to join us on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. because we're live and we have fun. Anyhow, that's our disclaimer. We always like to do that. It keeps us out of trouble, I guess. Anyhow, big shout outs to the Trim Radio Network, and it's trimradio.com. And we have a great bunch of shows. I mean, some great shows. And it's fun doing this show. You know, I don't get paid to do it. I don't have a lot of commercials or anything like that. It's commercial-free radio. I kind of like that. It's kind of off the cuff until we do the Money and Change show on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. That's more heavy information. Tonight's kind of fun, kind of being a little bit laid back. But our program schedule that we have is America's Funniest Online Dates. Have you ever had a funny date? I don't hear any laughing out there. Well, everybody's had a funny date. And we have that one. It's a good show. It really is. And Bare Knuckles Radio Show and Fishing in Florida Show. Oh, with Ruscala Stefan. He does a great job down there. Very, very intelligent person. Actually, all of our hosts are very intelligent people. But Ruscala, we had some computer glitches. And boy, that's his hobby. And he got on there and it just fixed everything right up. And everything worked. I mean, when I get into computers, I can do a little bit, but sometimes my thumbs get in the way, if you know what I mean. Well, anyhow, the Money and Change show is every Sunday night at 8 p.m. And we have a good time. And we joke around a little bit, but we're talking finance. We're talking about saving money and what's happening in the world of finance. We have the Red Pill Reality Show, and that's Ruscala's other show that he has. And then we have the Spiritual Freedom Show, Take Point 22 Radio Show with Michael Bejas, and the Brighter Life Show, and others. And if you want to be a part of Trim Radio, just contact us. There's a little contact button on the upper right-hand side. All you have to do is hit that button. And if you do that, you know, you can contact us and say, hey, I want to do a radio show. And we'll set you up. It's great. It's fun. Michael's my producer. I've known Michael for years. And we always get along. We always have a good time. Now, so much for the shows. You can advertise with us, too. And you can just hit the contact button and advertise with us. And this is, as I said, you can host your own show, and we have perks that we're going to be having. You can shop and buy some merchandise. It helps keep the show on the air. We sell a mug. So if you like mugs, if you like other things, just go to the shop and take a look at what we have. And you can buy a lot of different things. And it helps keep the show on the air. It pays the bills. And that's the important thing. But a big shout out to the Trim Radio Network and everybody involved, because it's a great group of people. And we just don't go to places around Columbia, South Carolina. We are basically based in Columbia, South Carolina, but we go all over the world. I've got listeners, believe it or not, in Myanmar, in India, in South Africa, other countries, South America, North America, a little bit in Europe, but I don't have anybody responding from Iceland. I have not heard anybody contacting and saying, hey, I live in Iceland and we listen to your show. And people in Iceland, believe it or not, speak excellent English. I just can't speak their language. You know, there's, you pick up a few phrases here and there, but can I really speak a language? I can read German. I could speak a little bit of it. I could do a little bit of French if I can remember everything. I can read a little bit of Italian. I'm not good at the hand gestures in Italian because, you know, Italians talk with their hands. The Germans, they kind of talk with their beer mugs, I guess. I don't know. You find a lot of different countries, but most people in Europe speak more than one language. Some have been known to speak five or six. And we found that out when I was in high school years ago because our French teacher came originally from Poland and he was in a concentration camp during the war. After the war, he went to the Sorbonne in Paris and he learned several languages there. He was an attorney before the war. And then he immigrated to the United States and he began teaching. And he didn't learn English in an English class. He learned it out of a book. He taught himself English. He was one of the nicest professors, or not professors, teachers I ever had. Well, he could have been a professor. He was that knowledgeable. He knew six different languages, and he could speak them fluently. And we would get exchange students that would come over for a semester or two. Maybe the whole year, and he would start talking to them, and he would talk to them in Portuguese or Spanish or, you know, whatever country they came from. He practically knew the language or a way to communicate with them. Fantastic guy. And it was just amazing that he could do that in several different languages and remember how to do things. In my case, with languages, I have to see it in print and then kind of put things together. I only know a few phrases, and in some cases, I get tossed out of a bar very easily. So we won't go there. But anyhow, we do have people that do listen to the show in different countries, and we like that. Just remember that I'm kind of not multilingual. I'm only good in English. That's American English. Well, then we have the University of Findlay. That's www.findlay.edu. It's an excellent school. And I'll tell you what, NCAA Division II basketball and football and wrestling and everything else, they've had some national champions. But they have very good professors, very good facilities. And it's a small school in Findlay, Ohio. They have roughly about 4,500 students there. And believe it or not, a lot of the students are not only from the United States, all over the United States, but they have students from other countries. And they have them from Japan, they have them from China, they have them from Korea, they have them from South America, Africa. I mean, it's amazing. It's a very multicultural university. Great programs for bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees. I can't say enough about it. I have to get up there for a basketball game sometime this month or next. And they play very good basketball up there. It's a nice place to go. That's the University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. Also, a big shout out to Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. Now, Phil over at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens, you can get them on Facebook. It's Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and Blanks. Why he added blanks, I don't know. Maybe blanks were what they called some of the students in some of my classes. I don't know. Anyhow, Phil does an excellent job. Presentation pens, if your college or your business, even high school, grade school, whatever. I mean, he makes great presentation pens. And you can check him out on Facebook. It's Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and blanks. And it's R-U-S-T-Y and then D-U-K apostrophe S. Custom pens and blanks. Check them out. Fantastic work. Nothing leaves the shop until it's absolutely perfect. If you provide him the design, he will go ahead and make the pen. The guy's good. And Michael Bejas and I both have pens of his, and they're great. They really are. Well, big shout out for Money and Change, and I've talked about that on Sunday nights at 7 o'clock. And we take information from all over. And we talk about how the finances are, how you can save money, how to watch your spending. And if you want to get involved in precious metals as a hedge against a bad economy, yeah, we can talk about that. But, you know, there are other things we always stress. And I always say, pay down your debt, put some money aside, buy some long-term food, make sure you have your medications, make sure that you have the proper clothing for the season, make sure you have plenty of batteries for battery-operated radios, make sure that your cell phone works, even a backup cell phone would be nice to have, and to keep in touch with your neighbors or relatives within 10, 15 miles, a GMRS radio. It's like a walkie-talkie, but it does so much more, goes so much farther. And it's different than a blister pack type of radio you can get at Wally World. And I have several of the GMRS because if there's an emergency and I need to get in touch with people, I can make one trip to drop the radios off and set them to a certain frequency and tell them to leave it there, and then we can communicate. And we have a little network. Other people have radios too. And it's good to have. And it's a license is $35 for 10 years. It's the same as a ham license, but we don't have to take a test. All we have to do is know how to turn the darn things on and select the channel we want to talk on. That's not too bad. And some of the radios that I've got, I can actually tune to different frequencies and listen to different emergency frequencies all over the country. And that's nice. But we want people to be prepared because the economic climate right now is not that good. If you're out there noticing bare shelves in different stores, be worried. Be very worried. Instead of being afraid, be worried. You know, when I go to the grocery and they don't have something, I'm like, oh no, what am I going to do with it? Do without, or do I really need it? Where can I get it? And we kind of talk about that money and change. And in My World, Life, Laugh, and Whatever, which is tonight, Wednesday at 8 p.m., it's kind of an open-ended type of a show. We talk about a lot of different things. And some things can be serious, some things can be funny, some things can be just ordinary, what happened today. And sometimes you need to listen to shows like that because sometimes people get too serious. I mean, you know, I like to listen to people and they get too serious. I say, now, hey, get real. What is real? I don't know. Just get real. A big shout out to the Big Family Homestead in Wisconsin. It's Brad and Krista. They had some bad storms and they more than likely have snow. I warned them, don't go to Wisconsin because you're going to have snow. They were in Morrill, Ohio, which was north of Cincinnati. And they had put up with the weather there. But now up in Wisconsin, it gets snowy. Deep South Homestead with Danny and Wanda King. Check them out on YouTube. These guys are fantastic. They're down-home type people from Wiggins, Mississippi, which is about 100 miles north of the Gulf of Mexico. Good people. They have some really good shows. Just check them out. Dave Kobler with Southern Prepper One. Check him out. He's talking about boots on the ground. And I was so busy today, I didn't get a chance to listen to Dave. And he gets reports from people all over the country telling him, well, we're out of this and we're out of that. Oh, we have this kind of food now, which we didn't have before. Guess what? We have toilet paper. Do you? But he talks about information coming in from all over the United States. And that's what he calls his boots on the ground. Check him out, Dave Kobler at Southern Prepper One. Also, Prepper Nurse One, Ed Carswell. He is in West Virginia. In West Virginia, he's setting up a homestead there. He was from Upper New York, up around Rochester area, Buffalo, and so forth. Where they had deep snow. I mean, deep snow. Well, in West Virginia, he gets a little bit of snow, maybe a little bit of cold weather, but he gets mostly rain there. Beautiful property. I've seen the pictures of it, and I'd like to go down there sometime if Ed will let me, once he gets the property developed. Great views and so forth. Well, so much for the shout-outs. A big shout out to I believe his second cousin, Ben, who's a student at Miami University. So Ben, if you're listening, hey, glad to have you aboard. Tell all your friends and buddies at Miami University to join us. You can also get us on replays too for both Money and Change and My World. There are other people out there. I mean, if you send me a little email to the show and say, hey, I'm from so-and-so and I'm listening, that's great. I'll announce it on the air. That's great. And I believe Ben is in his freshman year at Miami. And I'd love to hear from people from Ohio University, which is one of their other schools in the MAC, the Mid-American Conference. And I'll tell you what. I go through my list of everybody that I know on Facebook. And it's like, what do you mean I have almost 600 people on my friends list? It's kind of scary. One of the guys on my list is John Nagy. He's known as the coach. And he's a writer, very prolific writer. He doesn't like to really say he has a doctorate degree, but John's a very good writer. He's down in Tampa, Florida, in that area. And he's great to talk to, and he's reviewed some of the stuff that I've written. Not that I'm a professional writer or anything, but I do research topics for one of the groups that I'm in. And he said, put it on the web. Well, I'll probably get it there, but you'll have to read it instead of listening to me talk about it. He does that. He does podcasts. I don't think I'm there yet. But anyhow, there's so many different people. Well, some of the topics I want to talk about tonight, to fly or not to fly, that's the question. You know, there have been videos on Facebook where people have been asked to get off of planes because they've done something wrong, or, you know, the dress isn't right, it wasn't appropriate to fly with little kids. Oh, I've been on some flights, and I always dress appropriately. I always behave myself. I follow the rules. But since they did this mask thing, I don't think I could, in good conscience, ride 2 hours from here to Florida wearing a mask with a bunch of other people, and all I hear is somebody coughing in the background, and I know that air is recirculated. It kind of makes me cringe. So to fly or not to fly, that's the question. The prices were low. Now they're starting to come up a little bit. And I just don't know about, I used to love to fly. I mean, if I had the chance, I would. I was in Columbus one time, and they said, well, where are you going? I said, I want to go to Houston, Texas. And they said, well, we don't have any flights direct to Houston, Texas. I said, well, how do you go to Houston, Texas, if you can? Well, we send you to Chicago, then we send you to Milwaukee, then we send you to Memphis, and then we send you to Houston. But you can't go to Houston direct from Columbus, Ohio. Okay. You really want to go that way? It'll take almost a whole day. I love to fly. At least I did then. The meals were good. But now, I don't know. I don't know if I could put up with a mask on. It's bad enough, you know, when you go into the ER or doctor's office and they say, oh, you got to wear a mask. I go to the doctors now, I don't wear a mask. If I'm coughing or I'm sick, that's one thing. But normally I don't wear a mask. The doctor wears a mask. But none of her staff wears a mask. Can't figure that out. And you go to other doctors and they have masks on, but you don't have to. What do masks really do? They're good for Halloween, I will say that. They're good, some type of respirators so you can breathe. And that type of mask would work. But really, people walking around in supermarkets and so forth, and they have two masks on, they're rebreathing what they've been breathing out. It's crazy. If they do a bacteriological study on the mask in which you're breathing into it versus what's coming in from the outside, I think their eyes would open up. Yeah, well, this WEF, it's not like WW wrestling, you know, worldwide wrestling or whatever. WEF stands for the World Economic Forum. And they're meeting in Davos, D-A-V-O-S, and it's in Switzerland. I guess very nice place, very posh place in the mountains. And they take over this town basically for a week. And I'm hearing that they fly all their jets into the Davos airport, and they might have 2,000 private jets on the runway, but yet they're talking about we have to have pure air and all this other kind of things. Couldn't they just do a teleconference instead of having to fly all those expensive jets spewing out all that pollution? I really want to find out why they had non-vaxxed pilots to fly them to Davos. What's the difference between having a pilot that's been vaxxed? Is it because they might pass out? I don't know. It's just kind of interesting to see how they think and how they want to control the world, basically, financially. They're coming out with this ESG, and I'm trying to do some more research on that. And then from what I heard today from Glenn Beck is that the European nations want to run everything on this ESG. And it's to do with economics and government and society, social, you break it down, it's like socialism. And you think, well, does that ever work? Socialism doesn't work. Fascism doesn't work. Communism doesn't work. Go figure. And yet they want to dominate what we do. And I think that in doing that, it really doesn't help anything. It makes it worse. I don't know about you, but I don't want somebody in Europe saying, well, you have to act this way in the United States. Because I would probably say, do you have your hiking boots on? Then hike your keister back across the big pond and go back to where it came from. But yet now they're saying, well, if we adopt this, then you can't sell your products over here. And we won't sell you the products from over here to your place because you're not ESG. That doesn't exactly sound too hot, does it? Well, we're going to take a look at that maybe either this week or next week in Money and Change. Oh, what about Joe Plugs, our POTUS? Look out, Ethel, he's talking about POTUS. And Ethel says, who the heck is POTUS? That's President of the United States, POTUS. Well, anyhow, Joe Plugs got caught with documents that he shouldn't have had. And they said, well, Trump had it. Well, because the Don was president and he could declassify documents. He had that power. But Joe Plugs, well, poor boy, he just doesn't have a mind. And he probably forgot that they were there in his garage next to his Corvette. I wonder how many people have a garage door opener. You know, let's hit the garage door and see what's in there. Well, how many houses did he have? Did he have 3 houses, 4 houses, 5,000, 5 houses? Not 5,000 houses. He couldn't afford that. But what could he do with all those documents? And how sensitive were those documents? Were they top secret? Well, a vice president isn't supposed to have those documents. And if you forgot about them, well, that's not really an excuse. There's the fine line of law that he broke. So I don't know where this is going to go. But I kind of think if politicians are dirty, if politicians are doing stuff illegally, then, you know, they should receive a very good fine or prison time if need be, and banned from having public office for 5 to 10 years. Any public office. They couldn't even work as a dog catcher. And maybe we have to go there. But I don't know. All the pundits in Washington, D.C. will sit there and think about all this stuff. And then you've got Pfizer's CEO was in Davos, Switzerland. They were asking him questions. And I believe that was on the videos on Facebook, if I remember right, or maybe it was just on YouTube. And he wouldn't answer the questions. He wasn't going to talk, but yet he would talk to the people that were there at Davos at the meeting, maybe as to how they can control things. I just don't like to be controlled. I guess I'm a libertarian at some things. And other things, I'm conservative. But don't threaten me. I'm not that kind of a person. I don't think you are either. You don't like to be messed with. oh, you got the wrong tennis shoes on. You have to wear this, or you need to wear a tie to this thing. Oh, or you have to learn to eat bugs. Now that's stupid. You'll eat bugs and be happy. Well, I'll tell you what. Somebody goes to make me eat bugs, I'm going to shove them down their throat. Then they're going to find out how they like the taste of bugs. Some tells me I wouldn't like a bug burger, would you? Ew. I had a cousin one time that liked chocolate-covered grasshoppers. And he offered me one. He says, oh, they're good and crunchy, and they taste like chocolate. I get them out of here. Oh, I couldn't take that. He ate the whole container of them. I wouldn't. But we have all this stuff going on, you know, and I'm looking for stuff today. And I found a thing about the most expensive and cheapest appliances to use by region. And it was in Zero Hedge, and there were other people. Jonathan Merry, M-E-R-R-Y, who was CEO of Money Transfers, revealed the biggest electricity users in American homes are air conditioners. The average AC unit costs consumers up to $1,000 and $62 a year. Well, if you live down south, it's probably going to be more than that. While the cost per kilowatt differs a few cents across the country, the article says this can translate into cost savings by region. For example, consumers in the Midwest who run air conditioners for 8 hours a day benefit the most from lower power prices and saw a $200 reduction in their energy bill. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't run my air conditioner until I absolutely need to. And I set the temperature at between 72 and 75 degrees. And that's comfortable. That's the way my heat is in my house, between 72 and 75, depending on the humidity and everything else. If I was in Florida, I would probably really enjoy March and April, and maybe May. And then again, on the opposite side, we're looking at October, November, and maybe part of December. But then you have to put up with things like hurricanes, bad storms, and so forth. The article goes on to say that electric heaters, tumble dryers, washing machines, fridge freezers, and dishwashers were found to be other appliances that cost the most to run. But there are cost benefits to living in certain parts of the country where appliances are cheaper to operate. Another example of the cost savings of living on a cheaper power grid is a tumble dryer costs up to $8.64 per month in the West, but only $6.72 a month in the Midwest. And cheapest and most expensive appliances to run per year by region. And they have a long list. Air conditioners, electric heaters, tumble dryers, washing machines, fridge freezers, kettles, game consoles, LED smart TVs. I always watch dumb shows on smart TV. I guess it's the Me TV. I can watch Hogan's Heroes or something like that. I watch TV rarely except for the news and maybe a couple things on Me TV. I really don't get into a lot of sports and stuff because I'm doing a lot of research and I'm consumed with that. Hair dryers. I wonder if they make hair dryers for bald people. LED light bulbs, hair straighteners, toasters, lawnmowers, electric lawnmowers. I use gasoline. It's a lot better than the electric. especially when you cut your cord. That's a shocker. Microwaves. Yeah, microwave ovens. Then you have vacuum cleaners. And then laptops. Oh, I'd hate to see what my tower does, and maybe my laptop too. But the article goes on to say many households are looking for ways to save money on their energy bills with the rising cost of living worldwide. You know, in some places they're saying, well, we don't have enough gas, natural gas, to provide power or heat. And so we're going to cut that back. The source was in Russia and they cut us off, so we don't have that. Well, then burn wood. Find other ways to get around it. And you know, when I prepare, I'm not a prepper. I don't call myself a prepper by any means. But I have natural gas heat. And I have an Eden Pure heater that I can use in the house to keep things warm or increase the heat. And it's electric. I have another spare one that I don't use that much, but I do have a spare. And I always look at things. You have air purifiers and all this other kind of stuff. Sometimes I get allergies, and springtime with pollen it's a bear for me. And so I have to watch what I take and actually have in the house. I try to keep the dust down and so forth. But I look at my electrical consumption, and it's really not that much compared to a lot of people. And I remember somebody saying, oh, my electric bill was $900 last month. Oh, do you have gas heat? Yeah, but my bill was nine. How can it be 900? Do you have grow lamps for some smokables? Do you have that stuff? That's one thing I'd take a look at if you were running that type of an electric bill. And no, I'm not going to say, would you share? No, I don't do that stuff. But you wonder why the bills are so high. I mean, all of my lights are LED. The only consumption that I have, if I have a stove and I use it, seldom do, but I have one, that would do it. My refrigerator or my freezer, yeah, that would do it. Mostly it would be my computer. Now, my tower, I'm on that probably 8 to 10 hours a day. And I'm catching up with the news and financial information and everything else just to do money and change. Okay. It's work. And I don't get paid for it. That's okay. I enjoy doing it. I was thinking about flashbacks. You ever have those? I was thinking college versus factory work. And I did both. And we had public schools. I went to some public schools, universities. And they always like to dump non-essential courses to try to flunk you out. They get their money out of the freshman and sophomore classes. And they stick you with 15 to 20 hours of studies. And they don't care. They will give you the test and say, okay, if you make it, you make it. If not, well, hey, it's nice taking your money. That's what I found with every public college institution that I attended. It was that way. Now, a community college, it wasn't that way as much. But some of the bigger schools that I went to, yeah, it was that way. Private schools, I had smaller classes. Instead of being in a class with 300 or 400 other students, and one professor in a big auditorium that wasn't very well lit to begin with. And you had those classes. And then you go to a small school and you might only have 10 or 15 people, maybe 20 in a class, and you can talk to your professor. You have a lot of interaction with people in the class. It was great. And we didn't have 20 hours of classes. We might have only had between 3 and 5 classes at the most. There were term papers due in every class. It was usually every other week. But you were always doing research, a lot of research. And one of the classes that I had, since I was a history major, I had some stuff I was doing. I had to go to Bowling Green State University from the University of Finland. I had to drive up to Bowling Green, do my research, and take out the books, bring them back to campus. And I was shuttling books back and forth between the two schools. And I found out that in the end, I was doing my history professor's doctoral dissertation. It was amazing. I didn't mind doing it. I had fun doing it. But that's the small school studies. And then you compare, you know, all the hard work that you had in college versus working in a factory. Now, during the summers, I worked in a factory and we made air conditioning and air moving equipment for factories. And some of these pieces of machinery, the air moving blades were 72 inches long. And we had different housings and so forth. And we were on a production schedule. And I was in the fabrication part where we built the cabinets and all of the things that had to go into these cooling units or heating units, depending on how we made them. And you're getting 40 hours a week, you know, with some overtime, but you're working the night shift. You know, I love to work days, but I would take about a 75-cent cut an hour to work days. And so I worked nights. And I learned to live on that type of a schedule. And I became a night owl. And when I went back to college, oh, I went to class during the day, but I would stay up at night. And I'd probably be up in the morning by 6 o'clock in the morning, head to class. And then at night, I'd be up until maybe midnight, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, because I'm working on either research papers or other papers for other classes, other homework and so forth, whether it was in physics or whether it was in biology or whether it was in sociology, that class was worthless for me. And psychology, that was one I didn't like psychology. I didn't need that for some of the studies that I was doing. And they just pile it on higher and deeper. And Ben, if you're listening, you're going to have to go through all of that. It's a rite of passage before they can declare you sane enough to work in any type of an environment. Well, anyhow, so much for what's going around with me and everything. And I was looking for different types of jokes. And I'll be darned. Oh, here they are. The best Valentine's Day jokes. An old woman runs into her friend at the mall. And she says, "You're not going to believe this," she said. "I found an old lamp the other day. I rubbed it and a genie popped out." He explained that genies don't give 3 wishes anymore, but he did offer me a choice between 1 of 2 wishes. he could give me a better memory or turn my husband into the greatest lover ever. And her friend said, tough choice. Which one did you choose? And the other lady says, that's the thing, I can't remember. You came home early from your date, John observed to his roommate. What happened? Well, said the flatmate, after dinner she invited me up to her flat. We had a couple of drinks and she put on some soft music. Then she reached over and turned out the lights. So what's next? Asked John, and the eyebrows were raised. He says, I can take a hint, said his flatmate. I came home. Stuff like that happens, guys. I'm not kidding. What did one watermelon say to the other on Valentine's Day? You're one in a million. Ooh, I hate that joke. An expensive date. What's the difference between a $20 steak and a $55 steak? Think about this, Ben. It's February the 14th. The prices automatically change and get higher and higher and higher. Well, I'm telling you guys, especially the guys, it's going to get expensive for Valentine's Day, so you better be saving up your money because dinner's not cheap. And if you really like the person, you want to give them a good experience. Know what I mean? Anyhow, Valentine's Day is coming up. You got to make sure that you take care of business here. Make sure that you treat your dates to a really, really, really good time. Well, you know, that's just about what we're coming to here. It's almost time to call it quits. And I'll tell you what, a lot of stuff's going on in the world, so pay attention. Pay a lot of attention out there. Here's another good one. One morning, Emma woke up with a start. Her husband said, Jim, or her husband, Jim, asked, what was the matter? You were startled. And she told him, I just had a dream that you gave me a pearl necklace for Valentine's Day. What do you think it means? And Jim says to his wife, you'll know tonight. Well, that evening, Jim came home with a small package and gave it to his wife. And she was really delighted. Oh, she was really thrilled. And she opened it up, and it only to find the book entitled The Meaning of Dreams. Well, the funeral was 2 days later, and I guess it was a cremation. And guess what? Michael, are you there? He's not back yet. Oh my God, you mean he's going to stick me with more time? Oh no. I'll tell you what, he does that to me. He knows better. But like I was saying, financially, be prepped. Save your money. Put some money aside. Buy long-term food. You know the drill. I've gone over it time and time again on the other shows. You have to prep because the world's going to start getting crazy. And speaking of crazy, guess who's here?
Yes, I am.
Oh, yeah. Guess what? Guess what?
It's that time.
It's that time. Yes. I hope you had a good time. I had a good time. And I even gave a shout out to my cousin, second cousin, Ben, who is a freshman at Miami University. He likes to listen to the show.
Outstanding. So
I picked on him a little bit, and I put a challenge out there for anybody that was in the MAC to join and listen to the show. We'll have a little bit of fun. Anyhow, Michael, that's all I've got for this week. We will see you on Money and Change at 7 p.m. on Sunday.
Yes.
And I've got a lot of stuff to go over.
And I forgot, this week I was off from Take Point 22. Last week I was sick, but this week I was off. So we will be back on this next week. I'm trying to do it bi-weekly now. So got a lot to discuss. So there'll be a lot of stuff, a lot of changes in the VA and stuff like that. But we'll catch up with that come that time. Anyway, folks, I thank you for listening in. Ben, thank you for listening in. We are honored, always honored. Anyway, you guys, God bless. Have a great week. Be good to one another. A little love shared goes a long way. So be good to one another. Anyway, guys, take care, and we will talk to you all later. Thank you for tuning in to My World with Stu Scheer and the Trim Radio Network. The book.